Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're plunging into, well, the heart. Not just the physical one, obviously, but how ancient Greeks, the Old Testament, the New Testament, how they understood this core concept.
Right. And the mission really is to see just how surprisingly deep this word heart goes. It's not simple at all.
It seems simple on the surface.
Doesn't it? But right away, what's fascinating is that heart, in these texts, it wasn't just feelings, emotions. It pulled in intellect, will way. The very core of a person.
The essence.
Exactly. A much bigger idea than how we often use it now.
Okay, so let's start breaking that down. Ancient Greece. Cardia. What did that mean for them?
Well, literally, sure. It was the physical organ. Aristotle talked about it as the center of life, that sort of thing.
The pump.
The pump, yeah. But metaphorically, it really blossomed. It became the seat of emotions, you know, joy, sadness, courage, fear, love, hate, anger, all that.
Standard stuff, maybe.
Kind of. But what's really interesting, especially when you look at Homer, the tragedians, they connect the heart to reason, too. It's seen as the intellectual and spiritual center. So that line we sometimes draw between thinking and feeling.
It wasn't really there for them.
Not nearly as sharply. Cardia could be the source of thoughts, plans. It was also about will, making decisions, a sort of unified control center.
Interesting. Okay, so moving chronologically, the Old Testament, we have the Hebrew words lev and live off.
Right, and you see similar patterns, literal uses, metaphorical uses. Much like the Greek cardia.
And cardia is what they used in the Septuagint, the Greek translation.
Mostly, yeah. Cardia was the main choice for translating love. Sometimes they use dianoia, which is more like mind or psyche, soul.
So the physical connection is still there. Life, strength. I think I remember verses about food strengthening the heart.
Absolutely. Like in Genesis or Judges, strengthening the heart meant reviving the person. But the metaphorical side, that's where it really takes flight in the Old Testament. It becomes the central place for, well, spiritual and intellectual life, the inner nature. It's very closely linked with nefesh, soul. Sometimes they seem almost interchangeable.
So feelings again.
Feelings, yes. Joy, pain, calm, excitement, but also understanding, knowledge, the rational side, like in 1 Kings, Solomon asking for an understanding heart.
Okay.
But it's also the source of, you know, foolish thoughts, evil plans, and critically, it's the origin of the will, intentions, decisions.
So it's everything internal.
Pretty much. It's this comprehensive term for the whole inner person, character, conscious spiritual activity. It's much broader than how, say, secular Greek might use it for just one function.
And you mentioned responsibility.
Yes, huge link there. What comes from the heart that defines the inner person, that's on you. And crucially, it becomes the place where humans encounter God.
The point of contact.
The point of contact. For awe, worship. Or for hardness, disobedience, faithfulness lives there or it doesn't. Conversion, like in Psalm 51, rending your heart. It's all centered there.
You also mentioned kidneys.
Kaliot. Ah, yes. That's fascinating. The kidneys were seen as the seat of the deepest stuff. The innermost motives, emotions. Things maybe even we don't understand about ourselves. Only God can search the heart and kidneys.
Wow. Okay, briefly, Philo and Josephus. Did they keep this rich meaning?
Less so, actually. They used heart more literally as the organ. Philo even debated if the heart or the brain was the seat of reason. The deep metaphorical sense isn't as strong, especially in Josephus.
Sorry, Rabbinic Judaism.
They largely carried forward the Old Testament view. Heart as the center of life, thought, worship.
Which brings us to the New Testament. Cardia again.
Yes, and it lines up very closely with that rich Old Testament understanding. Huge emphasis on the inner life. God's interaction within the person.
So, still the center.
Definitely. Sometimes, you know, the NT uses a personal pronoun like they thought within themselves, where the OT might have said they thought in their heart. It equates the person with their heart.
Is the physical sense still present?
It's there, but relatively rare. Luke 21, Acts 14, James 5, a few places. Much more often, it's the seat of intellectual and spiritual life, the inner self. Paul talks about it, Peter. Mm. It represents the real person.
And its relationship with nisus? The mind?
Very close. Sometimes used in parallel, almost synonyms. Think Philippians 4.7, God's peace guarding hearts and minds. But there's maybe a slight nuance. Nous might lean towards knowledge, understanding.
While cardia holds more of the emotion and will.
That seems to be the emphasis, yeah. And crucially, sin impacts the heart. It corrupts it. Mark 7, evil thoughts coming from the heart. Romans 1, shameful desires, hardness. Jeremiah's deceitful heart echoes here.
So who can deal with this heart?
Only God. That's central. Only God can truly know it, examine it, test it, and therefore only God can renew it.
Renewal starts in the heart.
Absolutely. It's the seat of faith, repentance, metanoia. Conversion is a heart matter. God opens the heart like Lydia's in Acts. God illuminates it, sends the Spirit into it, pours love into it. Christ dwells there by faith.
And how does this faith show itself?
Through obedience, patience, keeping God's word in the heart, the peace of Christ ruling there, being strengthened by grace. Leads to the idea of a pure heart, cleansed by Christ.
And there are related words to cardiognostes.
Knower of hearts, that's God. God's ability to see right into the core.
Yeah.
And the opposite, sclerocardia.
Hardness of heart.
Exactly. Being closed off to God, to others. It's seen as the sort of natural state until God gives that new heart, like Ezekiel promised.
Okay, so summing this all up, this deep dive really shows heart isn't just emotion. It's, well, it's the totality of the inner person. Intellect, will, spirit, feelings, and the sight of our relationship with the divine.
It's incredibly rich. And maybe the thought to leave you with is this, knowing this deeper ancient concept of the heart, how might that change how you see your own inner life, your motivations? What does it really mean for that center of who you are?